SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. SiriusXM channel 159, the Monday Night Meltdown has begun, and we've got a full house here this evening. We're kicking it OG style. Scoop Jackson will step up and in a kicker with us. We got George Kurtz throwing it down. We got Rick Saratella as well. And, of course, we have one part of the Stanley Cup final set right now is the Colorado Avalanche sweep the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers deserve better. We've talked about this throughout the series. Yeah, it was a four-game sweep, and I think the Edmonton Oilers are the definition of so close, yet really so far. Like, honestly, and I'm not an Edmonton Oilers fan. I had money on the Calgary Flames to beat these guys, right? I talked about it going into the series. I'm not a fan of either the Flames or the Oilers. But I do respect the Oilers, the heart that these guys played with. They were up against it. Colorado were a better team. Basically, Edmonton were up against it. Mike Smith made a lot of nice saves, but he also let in a lot of bad goals. So it was sort of somewhat of an equalizer there. Colorado had better goaltending. And quite frankly, the Edmonton Oilers, it was like, it was 9-6, man. Or let's call it 10-6. We had the three refs on the ice. And then the, I don't know, how many goons are there? How many refs? They have six refs on the ice now? I don't even know. It doesn't matter. They already have their minds made up. Like I said, it's Monday Night Raw tonight. I think Monday Night Raw was basically fair. Hell in a Cell was fairer than what the National Hockey League did to the Edmonton Oilers. Time and time again, man. There was one of them, man, late too. Like two dudes on the Avs take down a guy on the Oilers, and somehow it's a penalty on the Oilers. Like, yeah, it was just, it was amazing. I'm not saying the Oilers didn't get away with stuff, some stuff as well. But wow. It is what it is. But it's one of those deals where it's, you know, Edmonton, you had your chances to win this hockey game. You didn't. Colorado advances to the Stanley Cup final. And, you know, I think, to me, in my opinion, I think the Colorado Avalanche would beat the New York Rangers. I think the Rangers would have a hard time with the Avalanche. But on the other side, I think the Avs would have a hard time with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's roll. The Monday Night Meltdown has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Breaking it down. We got a full house here this evening. Scoop Jackson will bat leadoff. We'll get into the NBA Finals with an OG. Scoop Jackson, old school slam style. So Scoop will step up and in. We'll break it down. NBA Finals style. George Kurtz will kick it with us from New York. Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks. George Kurtz will throw it down with us as the Colorado Avalanche have advanced to the Stanley Cup finals on the backs of Nate McKinnon and Cale Makar. Unbelievable performance by Cale Makar tonight. He's the seventh defenseman in NHL history with 5 points in a playoff game and an elimination game. At that, Makar is the first player to do so since Al MacInnis in 1994. Listen, the Colorado Avalanche have been skilled over the years, similar to the Edmonton Oilers, similar to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but they haven't had the grit. They haven't dug down deep enough to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I tell you what, man, I think Nate McKinnon, this guy would run anybody over right now. Listen, I think if Nate McKinnon's sister, I don't even know if he has a sister, but if he does, I think if she was in the way, he'd take her out right now. All right? Like, they are possessed. It was a dirty, it was a nasty series, but the Colorado Avalanche right now are 4 wins away from a Stanley Cup championship. We'll break it down with George Kurtz. We'll get you the updated odds. I think it's a more favorable matchup for Colorado if they play against the New York Rangers. Tampa Bay and Colorado would be awesome hockey. And listen, the Rangers, a special story. And Shesterkin, when you have Shesterkin, you have a chance against anybody. All right, so we got Major League Baseball going on in the late night hours. Toronto Blue Jays still playing right now. They're up 6-0 on the Kansas City Royals due to rain in the Midwest. There were a couple of postponements tonight and delays and everything else in between. Mike Trout has actually gotten a hit. He's ended the 0-for-26 streak. We got the Red Sox and the Halos going at it right now. The Mets are beating San Diego 5-1 in the late night hours on the East Coast. A lot of late night baseball. Right now, late night baseball going on. Cincinnati suddenly winning baseball games. We'll talk some baseball with George Kurtz. We'll get into the National Football League as well. Listen, sports books have pulled the Cleveland Browns from all futures, and rightfully so. This isn't good for Deshaun Watson just because he cleared that grand jury. You know, you got a legal grand jury, and then you got another jury. You got another judge, and that's Roger Goodell. And we talked about this the other night, man. The fact that Rusty Harden was going on radio shows and talking about how, well, you know what? It's not even illegal to have a happy ending, and it's not illegal to be crude and offend somebody. I didn't really think that screaming that, you know what? My client is innocent, and now there's more accusations and pretty sordid stuff, actually. Like, basically, if this happened, I'd be suing them, too, if I was this massage therapist. So, you know, I think at this point, Deshaun Watson, he's probably going to get suspended for like the year type of deal. It's amazing how Cleveland just screw everything up like all the time. The Late Night Anger Management Class, Rick Saratella will step up in it. We got a full house. Let's do this thing. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're kicking it. SiriusXM Channel 159 on Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. Let's bring in the original OG, Scoop Jackson, to break it down. Scoop, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
No problem, man. Appreciate it.
So, Scoop, we're two games in right now. We're tied at one. What did you think about game two last night?
You know what? I thought it was... decent. At least, you know, my thing, Golden State showed up and played the way we know Golden State, you know, has the ability to show, you know, to play basketball. But overall, I'm kind of putting the two games together. I'm growing concerned that we may not find any consistency in this series, and I like to find some consistency. I like to see two teams playing at their best at some point to see what it really looks like. You know, because Boston played like we know Boston has the ability of playing game one, and they didn't show up game two. You know, game one did not seem like a typical Golden State game to us, but then the real Golden State shows up in game two. Now, we saw what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals where it's like every other game, a different team showed up to play. I just hope that doesn't play itself out. So, I like what I saw in game two from a Golden State standpoint, but I would like to just see what – I like to see both teams fully represented show themselves in the course of maybe three games so we can get an assessment of, you know, who the best team may be.
It's a great point, Scoop, but it hasn't that really been the theme of this year's playoffs?
Yes.
And I think the playoffs have been cool in the sense that it's been unpredictable and there's new teams and there were some surprises along the way. But as you stated, not a lot of close games, really. It seems to be the modern NBA, right? It's not going well for us, tap out, right? It's almost regular season mode in the playoffs almost, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's kind of bothering me because at this stage of the game, you know, it's supposed to be the two top or four top teams, and there shouldn't be these, you know, one game you win by 35 and the next game you lose by 25, or, you know, you're supposed to be a juggernaut, you know, and you get down and then go to a situation where, you know, when everybody's healthy, you're supposed to be one of the best teams in the league, and then you're down in a game in a conference semifinal by 55 points. You know, and then you come back and turn over the next, you know, take over the next. The inconsistency is bothering me at this stage. Yes, you can see it during the regular season because of the teams you're playing, you know, on a semi-regular basis where everybody's not up to par. But this stage, man, it's bothersome. It's bothersome. It's bothersome. And I know the teams are new, you know, and they, you know, some of them are new and they haven't gotten there, you know, but that's no excuse to me for the inconsistencies that we're seeing. And, you know, there shouldn't be these type of blowouts. So this, these distances, I don't want to call them blowouts, but there shouldn't be these type of distances in games of this magnitude at this point. Like, there's no reason to me. And I know Golden State has a history of getting hot in the third quarter and being a different team after they've gotten a look at teams in the first half. They're historically known for that. But there's, at no point should a game in the NBA Finals be tied at halftime, and at some point, one team has a 30-point lead before the fourth quarter starts. That, you know, that should not happen, man.
Welcome to 2022, Scoop. Here we are.
Right, I know, Scoop, I know, right?
Scoop Jackson. Now, speaking of 2022, it's amazing to me because when I watched the game last night, I just saw Draymond being Draymond, and I didn't think anything was over the top or anything was too extreme, but the way that it's interpreted now, and I always find it ironic, Scoop, because people always talk about, well, in the old days, man, they were so tough and it was so cool, and then the second something happens in a modern era, man, people act like someone got shot, bro.
Right, exactly.
Remember, like, when Jokic pushed Morris? It was like the biggest, oh, my God. It was like, dude, he pushed him. Okay, he fell over, he got pushed, and yes, he pushed him, and, you know, some people are playing like, you know, Draymond should be suspended, he's reckless, and the way that he's playing, he should have been kicked out of the game 7 and 10 times. I guess these people never watched Dennis Rodman play before, huh, Scoop?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, the rules are different, and the game is being softened to the point where, you know, everybody is holding every little thing under a different amount of scrutiny that they did in the past. And, I mean, that's fair because that's human nature. We're going to adapt to whatever rules are put in place that we as society have to function by, then we will, for the most part, adapt to those rules. And you know, so if the NBA is getting softer on what they feel is contact or what they feel deems, you know, a technical violation, then it's over the years we're going to fall into that exact same thing.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Because even the players are like that. Like, look, right, Jaylen Brown's a tough guy in real life. Like, I'm not saying he's soft or anything, but you know, I find it just funny that he gets that rattled that Draymond tried to pull his shorts down. Like, if Draymond knows that that's all it's going to take, bro, then you're in a lot of trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
That's the type of thing where you just tell him, you just go F off, bro, right, too? You go F off, man. You start laughing in his face. But Jaylen got rattled for real, and you're playing right into Draymond's hands.
I know, but here's the deal. But this is what we live in. Look, Draymond tried to close out on a shot that he took, and they both fell down, right? Now, he perceived that Draymond had his feet on him. So he pushed his feet off of him, right? And Draymond, hey, pushed it back. Hey, don't do that. Now, here's the thing. The fact that that didn't escalate further than that is the only reason that Draymond or that there was no technical foul or whatever called. And they were, you know, they said, you know what, cool as hell for Bell. But to me, there's no reason for sensitivity on either end for that. Like, come on now. But here's the thing, and everybody talked about this last night. I think the only reason, because how sensitive we have become as fans, how sensitive they've become as players, right? And how oversensitive the referees have been over the course of the last couple of years in giving out texts or flagrant fouls or whatever, that the only reason that they didn't do anything to Draymond there was not because he already had a technical foul and they were judging it by the game. Was the fact that they saw the power that kicking Draymond Green out of a series has had before. And the referees did not want that type of scrutiny on themselves.
And Draymond knows it, too. And it takes a lot of balls to walk the line, but he sort of knows that it's going to take a lot for me for them to do this, right?
Right,
for them,
because they know what kind of
story it's going to become and how it can affect the series. So you're right, and I think
we've seen this before.
He gets it.
Right.
He definitely gets it.
And they get it too. So he, I don't know if they're gonna have a conversation about like not testing that line, but.
Well, it might be worse in Boston on the road. I was going to ask you that. I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know, you might have to ease off just a little bit on the road here.
But here's the deal. But are the Golden State Warriors so attached to his with his emotions in the game? And do they feed off of that so much that they can't find a way to suppress that without winning a basketball game? Because if he doesn't have that energy that they feed off, are they able to do defensively what they're able to do? Because I've had a couple of radio conversations so far today, and it's interesting to me how they're talking about Golden State's offense in the third quarter. It really wasn't that great. It wasn't like they were super hot and shot 70% from the field and put up 50 points.
No, it came off the defense. But it came off the defense. Yeah, that's why they won the game. And Steph said it after the game. He said it after the game, Scoop. He said, we need to make them feel us and let us know we're out there at least a little bit.
And where did that come from?
And they did. Yeah, Draymond.
Where did that come from? Thank you. So what I'm saying is that you're right. It would be nice if he could transfer that to Boston, because it seems like they need it, because that's why they won game two. But if it's so on the edge that he won't get the same type of freedom in Boston that he did in game two, how is that going to affect Golden State if they're looking to that to feed off of?
Scoop Jackson kicking with us. A lot of stuff I want to throw at you, Scoop. We'll take a quick break. I want to get your prediction. Get your prediction for Game 3 and how this series is going to play out moving forward right now. But I tell you what, it feels like a long one, as you stated, man. There's a lack of consistency being shown by everybody. The Late Night Anchor Match Class continues. Bring it!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're kicking it with Scoop Jackson, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, and it's great to have Jim Rome back where he belongs. But let's keep this thing rolling here with Scoop. We always get fired up. So, Scoop, I want to ask you about Curry, and, you know, I see... forget about Twitter and social media and stuff, but even some basketball people continuously talking about his legacy. Listen, this guy can miss every shot that he takes for the rest of his life, and he's changed the game already.
Right.
But, you can feel it, and you know that he knows it as well, and this is what makes the great ones, though, right? That, yeah, I've won three times. Forget about that MVP stuff, but just winning a fourth time, just how big that would be, and especially with him just sort of as the 1,000,000%, the face of this,
right?
You can tell it means a lot to him, and it means a lot to his team. I think it means as much to his teammates. We saw Iguodala talking about, I'm here for Steph's legacy, and all these people talking about this and that. You know, Draymond feels the same thing, and Steph doesn't want to be carried anywhere, and I can't believe anyone's even having this conversation, but what do you feel when you hear people talk about Steph's legacy being on the line in this series?
What do I feel about them, or what do I feel about the conversation? Those are two different answers.
Yeah.
Because in all honesty, I'm comfortable with the conversation, because I think that's the place that we're living in. I think we're living in a generalized society where every conversation has to lead to a larger general conversation as opposed
to... Well, it's always the comparing. You're right. You can't. We just can't have nice things without pointing and criticizing something else.
Right.
But I guess what I'm getting at is, as great as he is, he's not talked about as LeBron, as Kobe, as Michael. Maybe wins, will he? I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Think about it. I don't think he has to. I hear what you're saying, but
And neither do I. And I agree with you. That's how I opened it up, but I wanted your take. Yeah,
but I don't think... Yeah, and he's not. And, you know, it's just like the same way we to talk about Isaiah, you know, in the Michael, Larry, and Magic era, you know, when he was doing the same thing. We didn't talk about Hakeem Olajuwon the same way. We didn't talk about Charles Barkley.
Yeah, nobody said, you're right, nobody said Larry Bird better win one more time, otherwise he's not a real superstar.
Right.
Like, nobody said that. Yeah.
Right, he was a tough mountain. Right now we're living in a situation where, you know, you have a LeBron James, you have a Kobe Bryant, you have a Kevin Durant, and they're at the top of this generation's food chain of being in the conversation of quote-unquote greatness. And Steph Curry seems to be left behind. And we've seen this all before, you know. But I think that we need to just enjoy what he's doing, because what I believe is going to happen is that because he's so far out of the conversation, and I'm probably going to be wrong about this, but I believe it's going to happen is that once it's all said and done, and I think that's where we get to the pinpoint of why this championship or this finals run right here is so important, especially if it's a championship. It's going to be something that's going to be discussed 10 years from now. You know, when
great point. Back, yeah. And go, damn, that guy changed the game, right? And go, wow.
Yeah, exactly. We know he changed the game, but what's going to happen is that we will look at least one. We say, yeah, Steph may have 4 or 5 championships, you know, 10 years from now, right? But we'll look at that 4 championship, and then we'll have to put it into context and say, okay, well, here's the thing. You know, yeah, he won the first one, and they were just good. They took people by surprise. Then the second and third one came with Kevin Durant being there. You know, and he wasn't even the best player on that team, even though he did play well enough in that finals on the third ring that he could have been the MVP. But let's look at that 4th championship, and we're talking about if they win it right now. We'll look back at that 10 years from now. Well, wait a minute. Klay was just coming off of missing 2 years, and if Klay Thompson still plays the way he's playing, we're going to be like, Steph damn near won that championship by himself. We're going to look at this championship damn near the same way we look at how Dwayne Wade won a championship in Miami.
You have to. Wiggins, he's doing it with Andrew Wiggins, Draymond banging around, giving him 7-8 points a game, and Klay can't hit a shot.
Right, and that's going to change how we look at his overall legacy. We're going to look 10 years now. Yeah, we might have to give him more credit than we gave him at that time because of how he won this particular championship. Now, there will be those who will find a way to say, hey, well, Boston was young, and they wait a minute. They weren't that young. It wasn't their first finals, but you're still dealing with a team that has a core of 2 players that have been to the conference finals 3 times before they even got to the championship. So they're seasoned. Even though they're young, they're seasoned. And I think it's going to take 10 years for that to sink in Steph Curry's situation to have this conversation. And that's part of the problem of living in an era where the cloud of LeBron James and Kevin Durant and the people that are at the top of this are so big that I don't know how you live. You know, I don't know how you exist under that. Once again, we've seen it with Isaiah Thomas. You know, to me, what Isaiah was able to do with that Detroit Pistons squad, you know, during that era, through Bird, through Magic, through Michael Jordan, just the fact that he got 2 rings in that era is amazing. But when we have the conversation about the best and the greatness of that era, he's never, ever considered. Now, part of this may be the small man thing. You know what I'm saying? Basketball is a big man game. And part of that may be the small man thing, where we as fans, as media, tend to, you know, not give benefit of the doubt to the small guys and not really take their impact with the same type of you know, take it as serious almost, and maybe that's the wrong word, as serious as we do big men, because it's so much harder for us to look at little men and having this type of great impact. That may be part of the thing, too. But maybe Steph can change that, too, because if he wins this one, it's going to be very, very difficult for us years from now to include him in the conversations with the LeBron James and the Kevin Durant as that generational player. You know, that not just changed the game, but his legacy is on par with theirs.
I saw Bradley Beal.
Kobe had to lead. Kobe had to have Shaq lead in order for us to give him his props. Because trust me, if Shaq had stayed there and they had won 6, Kobe Bryant would have never been revered the way he is now.
Well, I tell you what, Shaq, that's another story, Scoop. I brought this up a couple of weeks ago. I've been brought up a lot. Like, Shaq, you can tell he's defensive and he doesn't feel he gets the credit that he deserves. And I think he's right. I think he's probably one of the most underrated superstars of all time, really. Like, you know, when you look at his dominance, how dominant he was, great passer as well, good leader, you know, a winner. Yeah. But I wanted to bring up something, about Isaiah.
Can I say one thing on this? And the reason, one, because Shaq still hasn't differentiated greatness from dominance. He equates dominance with greatness, and those are 2 different things.
That's a good point, right there.
And he's always said, I never wanted
but
to
But he
say
feels defensive dominant. Of that, Scoop, that people think, bro, you were just bigger than everybody, and that bothers him.
No. Well, you know what? We should apply the same thing to Will Chamberlain, because he was way bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
But here's the second thing, and I want to say this before we get on. I want to say, I think it's important. Shaq's other problem is that he always played with who was the second best player in the league at that time. That's what's hurting him, and that's something nobody talks about. When we talk about Shaq's greatness, it's like, okay, well, his first part of his career, he got to the finals, but who was he playing with? He was playing with Penny Hardaway, who was first-team All-NBA twice.
Hey, there were other good guys on that team, too. There were other okay. – that Orlando team had talent. You're right.
That's what I'm saying. So he's always played with the second-best player in the league beside himself. And he goes to L.A., and he's playing with who? Kobe Bryant. You know, and you look what Kobe Bryant is. So you look at that. Okay, fine. Because if Penny Hardaway hadn't got hurt, Penny's probably in everybody's top 20 all time. Kobe Bryant is in people's top 10 all the time. He gets to Miami, and who does he play with, win a ring with? Dwayne Wade. And this is Shaq and half a Shaq. But he's playing with Dwayne Wade, who was what? Besides LeBron James, the second-best player in the NBA at that time. So Shaq's legacy is not getting the credit it deserves because people are like, hey, Shaq, you are fantastic. But you had the luxury of always playing with the second-best player in the league at the time that you were doing your thing. And the people hold that against you.
I love how we're talking NBA Finals, and here we are right now. So listen, we only got 2 minutes, man. We only got 2 minutes now. Last thing about Isaiah I wanted to throw out there, but I saw Bradley Beal, and I love how he talks to the kids on his AAU teams, and he was talking to them, and he goes, I don't care about your stats. He goes, how are you going to help a team win a game? I think that's why Isaiah gets lost a little bit, too, and that the guy was a winner. He was a winner in college. He was a winner at the pros, and a superstar sort of look-at-me era, and he just made everyone around him better. But, man, I love talking hoops to you this group. But in our two minutes here, how does this play out moving forward? I get the feeling that we're going to be tied at two going back to the Bay Area after. What do you think about this?
Yep, I agree with you 200%. I think by the time what's the game five? Is that Monday? I think Monday. Yeah. With game will be tied two, but I think Golden State will probably win game three. And we get to see what Boston plays like. Like, I think Boston's going to play with a sense of, like, crazy urgency in game four and bring it back. I'll be surprised if that doesn't happen. Now,
wow.
Best wish is that the next three games, we'll get to see them at their best in all three games. You know what I'm saying? The final three games, we get to see them at their best. We get to see what Boston and Golden State look like. Not from game to game, every game, the last three games. And then we'll really say, okay, man, this finals, at least the last three games, gave us the two best teams playing at their best in the end. And I think that's my hope. That's my wishful thinking on this whole thing.
Yeah, it really is a weird series in that we've watched two games, and I really don't know what to think still. Like, it's hard to differentiate. And I bet on Golden State before the series started, but
right.
I think if Boston were at their best, they're better than Golden State, but I don't think they're as consistent as Golden State are. So that's going to be the difference when it's all said and done.
Yeah, could be.
Hey, great stuff as always, Scoop. Draft is around the corner. Let's talk about the draft, too, man. That's less than 3 weeks away right now in Brooklyn at the Barclays. It's always great catching up with you, Scoop. So, listen, who wins? Who's your winner, Celtics or Warriors? Who's going to win?
I'm still taking the Warriors.
Sticking in the Bay. All right.
Yeah, because over the course of looking through these playoffs, I think they've been more consistent than Boston has.
Yeah.
I think there have been games where Golden State has not shown up, but not as many games as Boston has not. Boston is like every other game. And every other game, they become a different team. So I'm just basing it on.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
The consistency I've seen throughout these playoffs. You know, so I'm still taking Golden State.
The OG, Scoop Jackson. Always a pleasure, bro. Love talking hoops with you. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, my man.
Anytime, fam. Talk soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between, breaking it down. The Monday Night Meltdown, SiriusXM Channel 159, a Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Rick Serratella will join us later. We're going to talk some NFL football. We've been caught up in the NBA and the NHL. But George Kurtz will join us at level two. Rick Serratella, SI.com, NFL Draft Bible in level three. A lot of NFL news to get to. And, you know, the Deshaun Watson, the latest lawsuit, I don't even really know if I can, like, you know, explain it, to be honest. I can explain it, but I can't read it verbatim. Really, because it kind of is, like, the way that they worded it was pretty offensive. Like, it's not like, you know, there's no, so basically the latest lawsuit and accusation is here, that it's from a massage therapist, and dude, stop getting massages, all right? Like, number one, like, dude, I swear to God, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I would have put in his contract, you're only getting massages from men from now on. Like, big, like, beefy dudes. You know what I mean? Like the old school. Tuck, tuck, tuck. Like the karate chop on the back, all right? There's no more female therapist for you, Deshaun. We're done. All right? Like, seriously. So, the latest accusation, and don't forget, remember I brought this up on Friday's show when Rusty Harden, the attorney, his attorney, came out and told a Houston radio station that, hey, happy endings aren't illegal, and it's not illegal to be crude and offend somebody, which I was kind of thinking, like, what's coming up? If this is your defense, that it's not so. So the accusation is that he was getting a massage, a therapeutic athletic massage, yet he became aroused. He became aroused and pleasured himself. And then after she was touched by him, like, I don't know if the best way of putting it. She was hit with she was hit with the after effects of him pleasuring himself in her chest and face, she says. As I stated, it was kind of, you know what I mean? So it's a pretty, you know what I mean, it's a pretty specific and detailed, like, account of the story. And as I stated earlier, like, you know, the way we think right away, it was like, all right, man, enough. I just got to bet the Cleveland Browns under right now. Like, under everything with this team, right? Under everything. And I'm still put off by this account. And, yeah, the sports books have pulled the Browns down. Listen, he's gonna get suspended for real. Like, you know, just because he beat that grand jury, like, that doesn't mean that, like, there's no way. There's no way in hell that after all this, and like I said, his attorney, you know, I mean, if his attorney would say, this is ridiculous, this is just a pile on right now, like, you know what I mean? I think people would believe him. He'd be like, how come this didn't come out before, right? You know, whatever. You know, there's a lot of different ways to defend this, but I'm not sure going on the radio and saying, hey, you know what? It's not illegal to offend somebody. I don't know. It seems to me that if you pleasure, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if I, like, described it. You know, like I said, we're on a bunch of AM radio affiliates here. Said Jacoby Brissett's the quarterback. There's no way in hell Baker Mayfield. We'll get into this with Rick Serratella later. Baker Mayfield's still under contract there, but why the hell would he help them out, right? And you could say, well, he could help himself out. I guess that's a debate. But they don't even want him anyway. So, like, you know, that's just so, like, Browns-like. You know what I mean? Not to mention, I'm telling you guys, the Browns really upset a lot of people. All right? Nobody does guaranteed contracts in the NFL, and the Browns basically told Deshaun, listen, we'll pay you no matter what happens. And that really upset other teams, because now what the hell do you think other quarterbacks are going to say? They're going to say, this guy is basically, you know what I mean, spraying people in rooms. I guess, is that a good way of putting it? I mean, they're going to say, this guy is like through the roof, and he got $250 million. I haven't been sued by 24 people. What are you going to pay me? Give me $350. I'm not a pervert, and I'm better than him, right? So what are you going to pay me now? Right? Like, seriously, like, if I'm Lamar Jackson, this is coming up. I'm like, listen, look what this guy just got, and look at all the problems he causes. I don't even cause you problems, and I'm asking for money. So, like, the other teams are mad at the Browns. The league is really mad at the Browns for this. The Browns screwed up the Baker Mayfield thing. You guys had to freaking trade Baker before you signed Deshaun, right? You had to be slick with it. No, we're going to trade Baker, and we slick this, and then boom, we got Deshaun the next day. You know what I mean? Instead, you just sort of, well, we'll just see how this plays out. It's not playing out very well, is it? It's not playing out very well. I don't know. I guess you can argue whether Baker should play for these guys or not, because he is under contract. It's quite the debacle. It's quite the debacle. So, yeah, I'm just telling you, man. Like, he's getting suspended. I already thought he was going to get, like, 8 games type thing. Right? I thought he was going to get 8. Now, another thing is, look, dude, they suspended Ridley for a year for betting. And I know that it's a requisite and all this, but people are already bringing it up. Like, they said, listen, you suspended Ridley for a year. You better suspend, like, Watson for a long time. Like, I see people calling for 2 years and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Again, there's no way. There's no way in hell that he's not getting a severe suspension. And Arenado in our chat brings up Jimmy G sleeping with porn stars. There's a difference between going out on a date with a porn star And basically pleasuring yourself in front of a massage therapist that didn't ask for that. But I guess they think that that's not illegal. So like I said, just from a football perspective, I just wanted to bring that up because I don't want to like talking about something. I brought it up earlier. I just wanted to give you a little bit of the facts but behind the situation. All right, so Scoop, listen, George Kurtz will judge. We'll get into the baseball. We'll talk hockey with Kurtz. Kurt's not an NBA guy, but he's an NFL guy. He's an NHL guy. He's a big MLB guy. And then we got an NFL guy getting in level 3 with Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible. Started getting into a couple of teams, news, OTAs, and everything else in between. But interesting, this conversation that we have with Scoop Jackson right now with the NBA Finals coming up. And just for you betters amongst you, which is pretty much a lot of you, probably, I don't know, about 75%. I don't think everybody that's listening to the show is a degenerate gambler, but quite a few of you, I would say, including the host. Scoop brought it up as far as, man, there's not good games. They're all just blowouts and stuff. But you know what's crazy? And this year's playoffs have been like this a lot, but it's not just new. This isn't a new phenomenon. We talked about it coming into to the NBA Finals, about how the last 45 NBA Final games, the point spread had only come into play twice. Only two times in the last 45 NBA Finals games has a team lost the game and covered the point spread. There were two pushes. And what happened now? Same thing. Right? Like, Boston covered the point spread, but they won the game, even though they were underdogs. And then Golden State easily covered the point spread. Right? So, therefore, I guess we say lay the points with the Boston Celtics in the next game. And this is going to be a big-time zigzag series. I do have Golden State winning this series. Yet, I have my concerns right now. I think it's advantage Boston, to be honest. And I'm surprised everybody is still as pro-Golden State as they are. Like, you know, listen, if you're Golden State, you're up against it right now. You're going to have to win a game. So, like, you know what I mean? You win a game, you're here in Boston, okay, good. Then you're tied 2-2, and it becomes a best of 2-3, and you have home court advantage. You don't win. Let's say you go to Boston, you lose both games. You're down 3-1. You'll go back to Golden State. You'll win that game. And then you're going to go back to Boston down 3-2, and you're in tough. Like Golden State, all the pressure's on Golden State right now. Right? And I know that, listen, there's pressure on both teams. I think the Boston Celtics do feel pressure as a whole to win the title. I think Tatum feels pressure. He keeps dressing up like Kobe every day and stuff, and he's just trying to will himself into a championship here. And the city of Boston expects championships. So I think there is a ton of pressure on the Celtics. But from a basketball standpoint, to me, and this is, I have money on Golden State to win the series, even though I'm betting on Boston in the next game. I think it's advantage Boston right now, because I think Boston will win this next game. And, you know, we talked about it on Friday, right? We brought it up, me and Tony Fan. We said, all right, what's going to happen in this series now moving forward? And we said, well, you know, Golden State's going to probably win. They're going to win on Sunday. And then they're going to split in Boston, and it's going to be 2-2. But I guess now the question is, will it? Will they split in Boston? And will it go in that order? It's almost too damn obvious, right? Now, we should note, this is amazing as well, that teams that win game two of the NBA Finals, because there's not a lot of sweeps in the NBA Finals, so you got to figure it's going to go back and forth a lot. So teams that win game two of the NBA Finals have only won three of the last 9 years. They're 3-6. So 3 wins, 6 losses. You win game two, you're probably losing game three. And what's amazing, if you win game three, you're probably losing game four. It continues. It's the exact same thing, which is amazing. That, like, you know, it's like I said, the zigzag theory seems to be in effect here for this series. And even though I was on Golden State, like, if Golden State would have taken game one, I would have been hesitant to think, you know, I probably would have thought that Boston would have bounced back. You know, but as I stated, there's some, you know, sometimes it's one of these things where you almost have to play this, in my opinion. Listen, I've been gambling, I've been betting on sports for a long time. And there's two ways of looking at this. So as I just stated, teams that win game two in the NBA Finals are 3-6 straight up in the last 9 seasons in game three. The Golden State Warriors were 4-0 coming off a loss in the playoffs. They lost game one, coming off the loss, boom. They win, they roll. They're now 5-0 by an average margin of 15.4 points per game. The Boston Celtics, 6-0 in these playoffs, coming off of a loss. 6-0 straight up, 6-0 against the spread. Average margin of victory, 15.5. Right there with Golden State. So as I stated, so we have a trend here that's, you know, the team that wins game two has only won game three times out of the last 9 years in the NBA Finals. And we have the Boston Celtics trend, in which they're 6-0 straight up and against the spread, coming off a loss. And, oh, yeah, they're going home, and they're only laying 3.5 points. It's almost too obvious and too good to be true that the Boston Celtics will win and cover on Wednesday night. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, quickest 180 minutes of sports talk radio. Level one. Man, that was quick. You know, something I didn't even get to, I wanted to. We were talking about Steph Curry with Scoop Jackson earlier. And, you know, it's amazing now. I see it in our chats. I see it on Twitter and stuff. It's just a bunch of babble. And it's a lot of, like, it's the same thing with, like, a lot of modern media takes and stuff like this about, like, Steph Curry's legacy. Oh, the Steph Curry needs to. And I heard people, well, you know, he's never been an MVP. Like, somehow that's a knock on him or something. Like, seriously? You know how many great coaches never been coach of the year? It's the stupidest thing ever. Like, well, he's never been an MVP. You know, just, I'm thinking, it wasn't that way, like, with, like, people never said Larry Bird only won 3 times. And you know what? He played with Robert Parrish, played with Kevin McHale, played pretty good players. Wasn't really him, right? Like, people didn't say, oh, Dr. J didn't win enough because he's not great. Nobody argued that Hakeem Olajuwon, well, he only won twice, so, you know, he's really it's really not all that great. You know, you only won twice, right? It's just the modern era that's pretty much just a bunch of tool bags that have never played sports themselves. They just whine and complain all the time. And bitch. Bring nothing positive to society. Contribute nothing. Babble. What's this new game everybody plays? Wordle? Should be called Babble. Just a bunch of crap. Right. I swear to God, I look through Twitter, I just keep scrolling. I'm like, nothing. It's to the point where the only things I find interesting are basically historical and ESPN stats and info, which it's like, oh, that's pretty interesting. It's not like any people are going to give us anything interesting anymore. Besides, like, Wordle and Babble. I don't even know what that Wordle stuff is. I got to be honest with you. I will admit my ignorance on this because it seems like smart people like that. But I don't have time for Babble, Wordle, or other kind of Birdle, any other of this crap. Too busy getting screwed betting on NHL playoff games. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.